On 666 AM, digital radio and the ABC Radio app, this is Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra.
Now, for anyone who's a long-time resident of Canberra and a fan of theatre and cabaret, you've no doubt heard of the cafe. Maybe you were even lucky enough, like me, to see a show or two there and had a chat with the owners, Bill and Pat Stevens. Now, Bill Stevens' incredible background as a theatre director meant that he had some many, many friends in the industry who were so keen to perform at this tiny little cafe, which was in the middle of Queanbeyan. I think it took about 50 people or so, wasn't it?
60,
right. That's it. And boy, did it attract some big musical names from the likes of Tony Lamont and Nancy Hayes, Jill Perryman, Todd McKenney, even a young David Campbell I remember performed there. Now, this week, Bill Stevens has been recognised for all of his work in the performing arts through a range of roles. He's received an OAM in the Australia Day Honours, and Mr Stevens joins me now in the studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Laura, and thank you for that lovely introduction. You make me feel very important.
It was very much from the heart. Congratulations.
Now,
tell me about your love of theatre. Let's start all the way back. I think it's 1957. It started a career that has spanned some 60 years this year. Where did it all begin?
Well, that's where I became involved in theatre, but I think as soon as I was born, for whatever reason, I always had a passion for theatre and performance, how it worked, how people got up there and performed.
Yeah.
And I was born in Narrandera, and at the age of 10, my family moved across to Griffith, where I spent the next 25 years. And 23, of those, I used to listen to the radio, the ABC, the Showman Show. I used to love John West's Showman Show.
Yeah.
And I would build my life around that show. And they kept moving it around, so it'd be on Saturday afternoons or Tuesday nights or whenever.
You'd follow it.
And I'd follow it wherever it was. And every year, Sawley's Tent Show would come to our town during showtime. And for a week, they would be there. And there'd be Bobby LeBrun and all the people that had been starring at the Tivoli show, including Jenny Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go to those, every change of program we would go. And that was my introduction to the theatre. And then I got involved with the Griffith Amateur Musical Review Company. It was a company that was starting up. And the person who was the director left town and I said, oh, I can direct.
Oh.
And before I knew it, and because my brother, Max, was the comedian with the company,
mm-hmm.
and so I did for the next 13 years, produced reviews and musicals, pantomimes, for the Griffith Amateur Musical Review Company.
Were you ever a performer yourself?
No, look, I discovered very early in, I have done performing,
mm-hmm.
that I wasn't, the performing didn't satisfy me. I always felt that there are other people on the stage who could do it better.
Mm-hmm.
But what I felt I could do better was direct. And that was really what I liked to do. And I was good at concepts. I was good at moving people around the stage. And in those days in Griffith, we performed in the Memorial Hall. It was before theatre. They had a proper theatre. And that was only a very small memorial stage that had been built for orchestras, for dancers and things. And we used to build a stage out in front of the stage on 44-gallon drums. And the only way onto that stage, once we did that, was through a side window.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd have casts of 30, 35 doing full production numbers, all climbing in and out the window in their costumes. But they all managed that.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot about moving a lot of people around so everybody got seen mm-hmm. by their parents and their friends.
Wonderful.
So when we came to Canberra.
And what brought you to Canberra and Queanbeyan in particular?
I guess I'd met my wife in Griffith.
Mm-hmm.
We had married. She was part of the review company. And the review company was sort of, we built a house with a lounge room big enough to have rehearsals in it. And we had two lovely children. And we thought, well, we've sort of been here and we can keep doing this forever, but we really should. If we're ever going to make a move before the children are too old, we should move somewhere. And it's got to be somewhere with a theatre scene.
Yeah.
And I promised Pat that I would give up theatre if we went somewhere where we could go to theatre rather than be theatre.
Be part of it.
And I thought I'll persuade her some way, but let's
that didn't work.
We came to Queanbeyan,
mm-hmm.
Because at that time, Canberra had a really good theatre scene, a really good art scene. Still has. It's even better. Even more marvellous. But in those times, it was enough. And I thought, it's also close enough to be able to go to Sydney to see the, whatever shows don't come to Canberra. And we built a house. And then Rep advertised for someone to run their bar. So Pat and I would go in and run the bar. And that was in the Ross McGregor period. And so that meant that I could be doing the bar and watch the show and do the bar at interval, watch the show.
Be part of it.
All those nights a week. And eventually it sort of got around that I had been involved in theatre. And Philo advertised for some directors to put in proposals. And they, as you well know, were performing in the Canberra Theatre. And I said to Pat, look, just one show in the Canberra Theatre, which was only about 11 years old then, where I have flies that go up and down and a big stage and all that.
I've just checked Pat's reaction to make sure, see if she's shaking her head or not. She's sitting in the green room at the moment.
Just one show. Anyway, Philo gave me the opportunity to direct a show, and that was a show called Annie Gets Your Gun in 1976.
Love that show. Yep.
Well, it went well, and I was asked to do another and
another.
And 10 years of doing that, from 1976 to 1986, I auditioned hundreds of people in Canberra. And when you're doing those auditions, you see a lot of really interesting people. Sometimes they don't get into the show because they're not suitable for the show, but you think, wow, because there was a school of music, which had a great jazz school. We had, there were opera singers coming, young opera singers to be trained. They all were looking for performance experience, so they were studying and they were learning. So when we, in 1986, The little school bus cafe came up. Our son Tim had just finished a hospitality management course at TAFE. And we thought, oh, that'd be a lovely little cafe for Tim, morning, afternoon teas and light lunches. Well, at that stage, I was doing a production of Kismet. And in that production was a young Korean boy, tenor, called Sankey Kim, who had just won a scholarship to the Curtis Institute in Philadelphia. And another lady called Connie Strait, who'd been a lounge singer in Reno 20 years, but was working at the American Embassy in Canberra.
In Canberra, okay.
Yeah. And when we moved into the cafe, it had beautiful high ceilings and skylights and just a little room, but had a lovely ambience. And we thought, this would be good to put on a show. And Sankey was there. We got him. He was working in the cafe as a kitchen hand to earn some money to take up his scholarship. And that's where it all started. We were going to be Thursday nights and see if anyone was interested.
Well, as I mentioned, you've had some iconic musical theatre performers go through there throughout the years. I think it was open until the year 2000. Is that right?
It finished on the 31st of December 2000, the end of the millennium.
Well, we might play one more of the performers that I absolutely adored. And I must admit, I've seen all of these shows because I'll explain why in a moment. But here's Nancy Hayes with Hamlet.
This is the story of Hamlet, William Shakespeare's most notable play. A magnificent, dignified work of art. But for you, Buster, I guess I better tell it this way. Hamlet was a prince of a spot called Denmark. There never was such a fratty guy, either before or since. He was a dream boy, and like a hole in the head, Denmark needed that prince. He bumped off his Uncle Annie, Mickey Finn, his mother, and he drove his girl to suicide and stabbed a big brother, cause he didn't want nobody else but himself should live. Was what you might call uncooperative.
What a fabulous tune there from Nancy Hayes, who now has, of course, the Hayes Theatre named after her in Sydney.
Indeed, and still doing wonderful performances.
Yeah. Well, I've received a couple of text messages. Betsy wrote in saying, "Hi, Laura, first time I've had a chance to catch your new show, loving it, show tunes, yay." So Colin's written in saying, "Congratulations to you, Bill." He says, "We saw many wonderful performances at the School of Arts Cafe and still miss Tim, so please let him know." And Karen wrote, "So miss the School of Arts Cafe in Queanbeyan. Wish we had something like that now in Queanbeyan. Thank you, Bill.
So thank you, Colin. Thank you.
It's
Karen.
It's incredible. You not only promoted these big name performers, but as you mentioned, a lot of the local talent as well. I remember the likes of Bronwyn Sullivan, Kate Peters, and Craig Schneider, and Peter J. Casey. You were such a great outlet for those sorts of young talents.
The concept behind the cafe when we started was purely to show, present local artists, because there's so many really good artists in Canberra, talent that needed attention drawn to them. We thought, well, we could do this at the cafe and people can come along and I would help them prepare acts. Now, as long as the cafe existed, we showed local artists. So even while we were bringing in these famous performers, we'd also dovetail our programs among programs with featuring local artists.
Yeah.
And on the last night of the cafe, on that 31st of December, we decided that we would close with local artists, and that was John Shortest and Moya Simpson.
I remember
and Kerry Ella.
Yeah,
and they did the last night at the cafe, and John wrote a special song and all that thing.
Well, I do have to disclose something. I used to be a regular visitor, of course, to the Queanbeyan School of Arts Cafe. I used to be a volunteer at CSPR, which is now Art Sound FM, and we'll get to your involvement with Art Sound in just a moment. But my sister and I, Sylvia, mainly used to record these songs, these performances. So we've got these, we made these incredible CDs for CSPR and for a record company to release these through the School of Arts Cafe, and they're incredible.
That now we made 8 of those CDs, and they were distributed by Larrikin Records internationally, in actual fact.
Yeah.
And 7 of those recordings were done by Laura and her sister Sylvia. And it was because the quality of the recordings was so good that it occurred to me that Nancy Hayes in particular, her act was so beautifully crafted that it has to be captured. And at that stage, I thought Nancy must be coming to an end of her career. And she hadn't had many recordings. She was only featured on two cast recordings. And I thought, here's an opportunity to capture the Nancy Hayes story on CD. And the quality, I think they were the first ones that were recorded on DAT.
Yes.
I approached the record company. They said, yeah, we'd like to do this.
Mm.
And so 8 of those programs were recorded, preserving, which is the performances of those iconic people. And they were always all people who had long theatrical careers. And their cabarets were biographical cabarets. So
they told their story.
And how they did their songs and how they performed. And they're wonderful recordings.
I want to squeeze one more in quickly before we run out of time. Jeannie Little. She was an amazing, amazing performer. And I didn't realise that until she actually performed at the School of Arts Cafe. Let's play this one.
Someone's been sending me flowers. Oh, what a sweet thing to do. Every new day brings another bouquet, and I don't know who to say thank you to. Sometimes they're thrown through my window, down through my chimney they fall. And sometimes at night, when I've turned out the light, they come through a crack in the wall. Now that my house is a garden, bursting with blossoms in bloom, I stand there for hours, admiring my flowers. I'd like to lie down, but there just isn't room. Someone's been sending me flowers, more than I ever have had.
Such a fabulous comedian. Bill Stevens is my guest in the studio here on ABC Radio Canberra Afternoons. It's 24 minutes past 2. Now, Bill, some incredible work there that you've created through the years, through your directing and through the School of Arts Cafe, but you've also worked as a theatre critic and a writer. Was that something that you were passionate about?
Yes, absolutely. It sort of came as a result of the cafe. Once we decided that we would close the cafe and retire from that, I was on to the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And opportunities started to emerge. I was invited to go on the Adelaide Cabaret Festival Advisory Committee, and I was there for 9 years. But same token, I had time then to get involved with Art Sound, because Art Sound was then, I believe. And started broadcasting, which I had my own program, art show there for 12 years,
yeah,
up until
fantastic.
Just the middle of last year, and just learnt how to produce programs there. And part of that was that I was able to spend time, and those recordings that you made and various other art sound people over the 15 years the cafe ran, turn them into half-hour radio programs called Red Velvet and Wild Baronia. And they are being broadcast by Art Sound. I'll give a plug, give you listeners, on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. They play.
Wonderful.
And repeat it on Monday afternoon at 3:30. But they are taken from those archival recordings of artists, and there are 140 of those.
I've still got some incredible reel-to-reels that I haven't converted yet, so I'll have to do them and I will send them to you, I promise. Now, you've also worked as an oral historian at the National Library of Australia.
Yeah, I've been doing that for over 30 years.
Wow.
And I was lucky enough to start that before we actually opened the cafe. Mm. And often in bringing some of those artists to the cafe, they would give them a 2-week season at the cafe, and during that 2-week season we would go into the National Library and I'd record their stories, people like June Bronhill, Tony Lamont, all those people. And I'm continuing that. I've just last week recorded my latest oral history with a gentleman called Jonathan Baker, who was in The Merry Widow and Orpheus and the World with June Bronhill, toured Australia with her. Mm. So I've just recorded his story. So that I really love doing, and I can do that.
It's so important that we keep those memories and that we record that sort of stuff.
It's that thing of trying, just alerting people to important entertainers all my life. It's been about performance and alerting people to it. So all of those things are part of that.
And how do you view the world of musical theatre and cabaret today? Is there enough of it? And are we giving it enough air in society?
I don't know that we're giving it enough air. There is a huge amount of music theatre happening, I think more than any other time. Big shows are coming, but it's very expensive to mount them now, very expensive to go to them.
Mm-hmm.
And there is just lots of competition for people's attention, but still going to a live performance to just see people performing tonight in front of you is something that you just can't be packaged that well. Although you did a pretty good job on those recordings, capturing the person behind it.
Well, we were lucky. We were lucky that Canberra and Queanbeyan was very lucky to have something like the School of Arts Cafe, this outlet where these performers could, you know, show their talents. Do you think, does Canberra have anything like that anymore?
Teatro Vivaldi have done a really good job of continuing, but
great,
they
yeah.
are sort of a different aim with that. And there are other little cabarets. I think Smith's Alternative is starting to move into cabaret. I hope that venues will be inspired to do it, but I think they need to have a passion for why they're doing it, because you'll never make money. Don't do it to make money, because that's not what it's about. But that idea of giving people a place to perform and hone their skills, and that's really what we were able to do back in those days, and now shout about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining me in the studio this afternoon. I've thoroughly enjoyed our chat, and congratulations on your OAM.
Laura, thank you for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to play around in memory lane.
That's been fun.